All right, guys. We are heading in to, believe it or not, session number 3. All right. If you've been counting, if you've been following along, we have been so far together for 2 sessions in this series called Pedal to the Metal, really talking about the basics of what it really means to be a follower of Jesus. And I don't know about you guys, but some of the stuff that I know that I've said already has been stuff that has had to be a really, really great reminder for me. And I know your leaders have felt the same way about this weekend. And so it's not just you guys as students that are learning things, it's us as leaders are also learning things and writing things down. And so be really, really, really aware of that. This last session, or this second last session, is called You've Lost Your First Love. And there's a problem, guys, in the church these days. There's a problem in youth groups these days. There's a problem in a lot of families and in our society these days. I believe what I'm going to talk about tonight is quite possibly the epidemic of the entire church. It's the thing that is wrong with this system, which is supposed to be this place of community, of people feeling apart, people feeling like they can't miss out on what's going on. The average person goes to church nowadays 2 of 4 Sundays. 2 of 4 Sundays, they don't see that they need to be really at church. The average person, if you're asked how often they actually do devotion time or spend personal alone time with God, the average person who says that they are a Christian would probably be very, very, very low. Last night we talked about some misconceptions of what it means to be a Christian. And tonight we're going to go so to the roots of what it truly means to be a Christian, that I believe that if you fully grasp what it is that I am going to say tonight, that Scripture echoes over and over and over and over and over again, that one, it'll dramatically, dramatically change your relationship with God. And 2, that we will start a fire that will be unstoppable in our city and in our high schools. I truly, truly, truly believe that. As I was getting ready for this weekend, I was getting ready to pray over this weekend. Couple things that I was praying, I said, God, I pray that this weekend for multiple students would be a turning point. Would be a turning point in either their relationships with God or maybe in their lives. I prayed it this morning that this could potentially be a hinge. That the door of, I'm a Christian, I'm not a Christian, I'm a Christian, of swinging open and closed, would become open. So this is all about Jesus. In this last song, we say, oh, how he loves us. And so the question that I'm going to ask to get us to begin thinking about tonight, and the point that I want to make as we move forward, is often we focus so much, and many of us know and have heard the term, God loves you, or God loves us. But how many of us actually stop to ask the question, do I love God? Do I love God? Do you love God? To do this, I want to turn to Revelations. And I want to turn to Revelations 2. Revelation is the very last book in the Bible. And Revelation is known as apocalyptic. Can everyone say apocalyptic? It's known as apocalyptic literature, meaning there's going to be things in there that you aren't going to fully understand. It's like when you read Macbeth or Hamlet. The way that is written is very different than the way you or I speak nowadays. And so some of the ways and some of the terms and phrases that are used in Revelation are going to be very different than what you would use today. But what I want to do is I want to turn to Revelation. 2. And I want to look at verses 1 to 5, because verses 1 to 5 open up what I believe to be, as I said, the epidemic of the church, the problem of potentially our youth group and potentially each of our lives as it relates to God. And it goes like this. Now, it says this. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks among the 7 golden lampstands. It says this. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found themselves to be false. I know you are enduringly, patiently, and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Now, to give you a little bit of context, what is going on, who's writing it, and what is this all about? This is a guy by the name of John, and he's writing to the church of Ephesus. And what he's basically saying is, guys, I've heard about your church. I've heard about it. As he says, I know your works, I know your toil, your labor, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. Guys, high five. Good job. You're doing some good things right. I know what's going on. You can't bear with the people around you that are evil, that aren't worshiping me. Keep it up. He says, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. He says, I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. Guys, you've been patient. I know that there are times in your life where things are difficult and you don't know what to do. And so what you do is you pray and you're patient. And he says, good job. Keep it up. And if you can imagine being the church and they're reading this letter, they're probably giving each other high fives. Woo, man. Yeah, we're doing good. He thinks we're awesome. And then it goes to the next part. But, the big but, I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had first. He says, remember, therefore, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. What this verse and this collection of verses is basically saying is, you can do everything well in church, of being patient, of enduring with people that are difficult, of, you know, toiling and dealing with the barrenness of people are making fun of me and this is difficult. But he says this is the main problem. If you don't love God, if you don't love Jesus, then everything else doesn't matter. Everything else doesn't matter. It doesn't. Because you're missing the very base of what our faith is. Guys, I'm going to be really, really transparent and honest with you guys tonight. In December of this year, I was feeling really, really burdened. I was feeling really stressed out. Really stressed out. I was feeling so much weight on my shoulders. I was feeling like I couldn't speak anymore. I was like, I am so glad that you guys remember our Christmas party. We had our Christmas party, and then I didn't have to speak for like a month. And I was so happy that I didn't have to do it. Now, you know what's weird about that? Is that I usually love speaking. I usually love teaching. I believe it's the gift that God has given me. And so I usually love to do it. But at that time, I was feeling so stressed out. I was feeling so bogged down by my job that I was like, I almost don't want to do this anymore. Now, something had happened. And the thing was, is that I wasn't in love with my Savior. I didn't truly love God, because what was really happening was I was doing everything that I was doing. Yeah, I said it was for God, but ultimately I was doing it for me. And I wasn't getting up in the morning, and I wasn't praying, and I wasn't reading my Bible regularly. I was just getting up, going about my day, and on my own strength, and on my own will, and on my own power, I was going about my job and my life just going. And what I realized in December, and it was like this really, really low point, is that I cannot do anything without God. I can't do anything without Jesus. I can't. He must be number one in my life. And you know what happened? I started getting different voices coming from different places in my life that all said the same thing. Matt, you need to spend more time with God. Matt, you need to love the Lord. Matt, you need to get back to the place where you accepted Christ into your life, because back then is where you are most in love with me. And over the months and over the years, you have lost your first love. You have abandoned the love you had first. Now, for some of us, we can maybe remember the first time that we accepted Jesus into our lives. Maybe it was at that youth retreat, and you heard somebody speak, and you were so moved. Everyone around you was caught up in this powerful worship, and you were like, wow, this is amazing. And at the end of the service, you were given an invitation to come forward, and you were overwhelmed by God and by Jesus and by the community that was around you. And you were like, woo! I love him! And then Monday morning came. And then Tuesday morning came. And then Wednesday morning came. And then Thursday morning came. And then Friday, then Saturday, then Sunday. And weeks upon weeks came. And what happened was is that you forgot the first love that you had at the very beginning. Now, there is something beautiful about retreats. We're away. We're not feeling, hopefully, the pressures of home right now. Of, we need to leave at 9 and get home so I can do my homework. Of, this is what just happened in my day. We're not feeling that stuff. We're up here. We're away. We're away from wealth. We're away from home. And that's a beautiful thing. Because it lets a lot of us, I know it does for me, it lets a lot of us go, ah, right? And so what happens is that we really, really open ourselves up to hearing from God, to being with other Christians, and having good conversation about God. But what can so easily happen is that we get back to Monday and we forget what happened on the weekend. And what I really wanted to focus on this weekend is, guys, let's make sure this weekend isn't just one of those weekends where you are reminded of God's love and maybe fall in love with God, but that that love is an everlasting love that goes from Sunday to Sunday to Sunday to Sunday for the rest of your entire life. Because if that's where you are, best place to be. Because you will never, ever get truly bogged down and weighed down into everything. I'll tell you what I started doing after hearing all of these different things. One of them was my sister. My sister went away to England, and she started spending tons of time with God and listening to God and praying to God. And she started emailing me and telling me about all these experiences that she had with God, and how she now is so close in her relationship with God that she actually can hear God speak to her. And I remember thinking, I would love that. I would love that. To hear the audible voice of God, of listening to him, of knowing what he wants from me minute by minute of every single day. Would be amazing. And then I was reading this book, and it was called Rumors of God. It was about this guy who had one of those experiences where he wanted to be a pastor, and so he became a pastor because he loved God and he wanted other people around him to love God as well. And what ended up happening is that that ended up moving away from his life, and it started to become about the 9-to-5 job rather than about the 24/7 job of loving God. You see, I think there are a number of things that happen to us in our life. And I believe there are a number of things that happen to us that cause us to fall out of love or that cause us to miss the mark. And the number one thing I think happens is I think we get distracted. We allow other things in our life to take precedent over God. We do it. We know that we should be maybe spending that alone time with God, but we choose not to. We know we should go to youth group, but we're tired and we decide not to. We get distracted. Another thing is, maybe some of us, this is something I know that happened to me, is that you have always loved systems and ministry more than God himself. Or maybe you like church more than you like God. Or maybe you like youth group more than you love God. Here's a really good quote from a guy named Donald Miller. He says, "I have become an infomercial for God, and I don't even use the product." You guys have seen infomercials on television, right? The slap chop. And what it basically is those people are advertising for something, and sometimes we advertise for God, like I'm a Christian, but we don't even worship or love God. Number three, I think some of us never really loved God in the first place. We fell into an infatuation, but we never really sought to really deepen that relationship with God. Fourthly, some of us might have just fallen out of love with God. We fell more in love with the things that were around us, the people that are around us, the stuff that is around us, the material things that are around us, and so we actually fell out of love with God. Now, as I told you guys this morning, there's this word in the Bible that is mentioned over and over and over and over again. And it's this word abide. And the definition of abide is this: to live and act in accordance with a rule, recommendation, or decision. To live and act in accordance with a rule, a recommendation, or a decision. It says over and over and over again in the scriptures, it says this in John 8:31. "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." What that looks like is if you live and act according to the words of the Bible, then you are truly a disciple of mine. If you live for God and you obey God, then you are a disciple. Kind of reminds us of what we were talking about last night. If you don't obey God, then you're not a follower of God. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Guys, you know what had happened to me? I had stopped abiding. I had stopped living by the words in the Bible. I had stopped living by even some of the stuff that I was preaching about from September to November. And I got tired. And you know what? I know for some of you guys, sometimes you get tired. You know, you get stressed out. And you get worried. And you wonder, how in the world am I ever going to make it through this week? How am I ever going to make it through tomorrow? Because I don't know if I can take it. And God simply says, abide in me. Live for me, and you will make it through tomorrow. You know what we need to do? Is we all need to fall in love with God. Now, if I were to like pull this room and say, guys, how do you fall in love with somebody? I'm sure all of you would have your very own insights on what that would look like. But I think probably one of the very, very base things that you would do to fall in love with somebody is you try to figure out what they're all about. You try to get to know them. And the exact same thing is true with God. If you want to fall in love with God, if you want to have a lasting relationship with God that'll go beyond tomorrow and Monday, you need to start every single day of your life trying to figure out God. But you know what? You will never completely figure him out. And that is probably one of the most beautiful truths in this entire world. You will never completely figure God out. I know that I will never completely figure out Andrea. And she's a human. But I will never, ever completely figure out God. And so I have the rest of my life to figure out more and more and more about him. Another way that you might fall in love with somebody is that you would communicate regularly with that person. You might text all the time, and you'll talk on the phone, and you'll Facebook message, and you'll Facebook chat, and you'll go over to one another's houses, three or four times a week sometimes, to fall in love with somebody. You know what, guys? It's so the same with God. If you're like, Matt, I don't have a very strong relationship with God. My first question to you would be, well, how much time are you spending with God? Because if you aren't spending time with God, you're not going to have a strong relationship with God. You aren't. You need to spend time with him. There's this amazing quote in this book that I've been reading. The guy says this: prayer, talking to God, is the heart and soul of every successful relationship with God. In fact, prayer is absolutely crucial to every area of a believer's life. Prayer is the base, basically, of the Christian faith. Why? When you want to praise God, what do? You pray. When you want to ask God for something, what do? You pray. When you are going to your dinner, what do? You pray. When you confess, when you want to do meditation, what do is you pray. Because prayer is how we communicate with God. If you want to fall in love with God, you've got to get serious about talking to him. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. It doesn't necessarily mean that every morning at 7 o'clock you get up and you sit there for half an hour and pray. For some of us, it might mean that to start. But it means that almost, every hour you take a minute while you're walking down the hall, or maybe while you're standing in the shower, and just say, God, thank you for today. I give you my today. I thank you that I'm alive. God, I pray that I would be a good example to the world of who you are today. God, I pray for my friend. I pray for my friend, God, because their parents are going through a really, really hard time. God, I pray that you would forgive me for something that I have done recently that I know is not a good thing. How simple is that? And that's only like 30 seconds of prayer. If you want to grow in your relationship with God, if you want to fall in love with God, you've got to start spending time talking to God. Here are some verses about prayer in the Bible. James 4:2 says this: you do not have because you do not ask, and you ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. What this basically is saying is, many of us are like, God, I don't have this, and I don't have that, and this person's not getting healed, and this isn't happening in my life. And what this writer says is, you don't have because you never ask. And when you ask for selfish reasons of God, do this for me, and just for me. We don't pray saying, God, what is your will in this situation? What would you see and have done in this situation? Instead, we focus solely on ourselves. You know what the greatest thing about Jesus is? Is that Jesus, it says this in Luke 5:16, is that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. Jesus did it regularly. If you read through the Gospels, I challenge you to be reading through the Gospels and start making a tick on a piece of paper of how many times Jesus separates himself from the rest of the disciples and goes off on his own and spends alone time with God. Now, Jesus was God. He is the Son of God. And he, of anyone that would probably have the best relationship with his Father, still chose to take regular time apart from other people to spend alone time with God. Guys, it is so important to pray. And it is so important to figure out more about God. And the best way that you're going to do that is through scripture reading. Guys, if you want to take anything of what I have talked about this weekend, if you care at all about the future of being a follower of Jesus, these are two things that you will try really, really, really hard at. Because the best way to get to know somebody is you figure out more about them, and the way you do that is by spending time with them. And that can be going through church, and so you make church a priority on Sunday mornings. That can be through going to youth group, because at youth group, we all get together, and I talk to you about who God is, and then so you start to figure out more of who God is. And you find out more and more and more, and the more priority that you make in your life for God, the stronger your relationship will be with God. Guys, you know the benefits to your relationship with God? 1 Corinthians 2:9 says this: no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love Him. Guys, I asked you this on Wednesday, but how many of you, after reading that verse, want to be the people that love God? Because if you love God, God has something prepared for you that none of us on this world will ever fathom, will ever get, will ever be even able to comprehend. He has for you, and He has for me. In John 15:7, it says this: if you abide in me, if you live and you act in accordance to my word, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. How many of you guys truly wonder sometimes if God is listening? Sometimes do. Wonder, God, based on what's going around in my life right now, I really sometimes wonder where you are in all this. But you know what I'm reminded of? Is that I am so often pulled to what I want that I very rarely think of what could God want in this. And that's what that verse reminds us of. That if we abide in God, and His words abide in us, that we can ask whatever we wish, and it will be done for us. Guys, I grew up in a Christian home. I have talked to you guys a little bit about my parents this weekend. I had great parents who loved God. But you know what? There comes a time that no matter what upbringing you have, whether you are from a Christian home or whether you are from a non-Christian home, that you have to decide for yourself, who am I going to live for? Because there will be a time where you will leave your home and maybe go to university or go out into the working world, and you will not have your parents anymore knocking on your door and saying, hey, it's time to go to youth group. Hey, it's time to go to church. Hey, have you been reading your Bible recently? That stuff won't be there anymore. And you will have to decide, what am I going to believe? How am I going to live? And does this whole Jesus thing that I've been taught about since I was a kid, or just been hearing about at youth and through other people, what is this really going to mean to me for the rest of my life? And what I talked about last night and what I talked about this morning is that there has to be at some point or another this decision to say, I will follow. I will follow. I am going to make a decision based on the promises that I read in Scripture and based on some of the logic known to me in this world, because some people will say, you can't prove to me that God exists. You know what you can say to them? Well, you can't prove to me that God doesn't exist. I think it takes more faith to believe that God doesn't exist than that He does. Look around you. Look around you. Look at this incredible world. Look at the people around you and how complicated and weird some of them are. Do you think that was just a random chance? Really? Do you think that was just a random, like, yeah, that person just happened? No. It's all part of God's creation. So based on that, guys, where are you going to be when you die? Where are you going to be if Jesus comes back in the middle of tonight, or in half an hour from now, or in, you know, 2 weeks from now, or 3 months from now? None of us know the time. None of us know even the hour of when He's going to come back. Where are you going to be, one? And what are you going to base your entire life on? Because as we've talked about in the last two sessions, if you base it off yourself, you're not going to end up in heaven. You're not. The profile of the lukewarm, God says He will spit you out of His mouth. Now, I don't say this, guys, to freak you out. I say this because I believe with all of my heart, I base my entire life on it, and through my own experience of God and in God, this is right. And I believe on His word that everything in here is truth, that all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching me what is right and correcting me in my wrong. And then I can't just believe half of this and not the other half. That I'm going to believe that this is the word of God, that this is spoken to me through people that God inspired, that everything in this is real and true. And if that is real and true, then the only way that I am going to end up with God in heaven one day is through accepting Jesus Christ into my life. Guys, we've got to fall in love with God. We've got to fall in love with the Savior. Can you imagine if our church, or if you were known for, not for like, oh, they're a cool person, or that they're kind of nice, but that you were known for that person, they're a little weird, they're a little radical, but they're really all about what they say they're about. That person is authentic, that person is genuine, and that person has credibility. And I don't know what it is about that person, but that person loves God, and I don't know really what that's all about, but they're legit. And based on that legitimacy, they love their God and they love me, and not many people can love me, so I'm drawn to that person. I want that to be said about me. I'm sure you guys do too. Can you imagine if you were known for that? Can you imagine if rather than getting in fights in our youth group and separating into like little circles, that we were be like, I am going to love everybody in my youth group, and through loving them, I'm going to try to get to know them, and I'm going to try to spend time with them. How attractive this youth group would be in changing the face of youth in Fergus and in Guelph and surrounding areas. Because we really, really, really love God. Can you imagine how many fights we would totally, like, not even need to have, and how many arguments we wouldn't even need to focus on, and how much of the crap that goes on in the church we wouldn't even really need to worry about if we truly, truly, truly loved God? If He was our number one priority, if all of us were really like, I get what it really means to be a follower of Jesus, and so we're going to put Him first, can you imagine what that would look like? It would be unstoppable, and we would see God do incredible things in, around us, and through us all the time. We wouldn't probably even be able to keep people from coming. Why? Because people are attracted to good things, and guess what? God is good, and God is great. And He loves you, and He died on the cross to save you from your sin. It says in Romans 3:23, it says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Each and every single one of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All of us have. If you believe, even in, maybe not even in the existence of God, you have to somewhat believe in the fact that there has to be consequence to bad decisions, to sin, to bad believe that there is consequence to sin, but that God, through Jesus, wipes that slate clean, and that he pursues us every single day, and he walks up the mountain with us, and he pulls us along. He brings us to that mountaintop. Why? Because he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. As I was reading my Bible this morning, I think it was God had me read this for tonight. You guys have all heard of Judas. Judas is the one that betrays Jesus, right? Judas turns his back basically on everything that Jesus had taught him for the last few years. And instead chases after material things, money, to betray Jesus. Then we have Peter, right? Peter is another disciple of Jesus, and we read that Peter denies Jesus 3 times. Peter doesn't think when Jesus says, hey, you're going to deny me. Peter says, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Jesus says, okay, let's wait and see. After the rooster crows, you're probably not. And what we see is after that, these two paths evolve. And what happens to Judas is that he betrays Jesus and then feels so bad about what he has done is that he goes and he hangs himself and he kills himself. And then we see the path of what Peter does. Peter denies Jesus. And we read that he weeps after he does this. That he runs away and he weeps bitterly about what he has done. And then we read that Jesus, after he comes back to life, invites Peter back into his circle. And Peter ends up becoming one of the fathers of the church. We read about him multiple places in the New Testament. He wrote a bunch of the New Testament. Guys, if you have betrayed Jesus, if you have denied Jesus, you don't have to go continually down the road of death, of pity, of victimization, of whatever that is. Because you know what? God's love and God's grace was available to both Judas and to Peter. It was available to both of them. And if God's grace is available to Peter, who denied Jesus after he said he wouldn't 3 times, at really the feet of Jesus when he was being beaten in front of him, and if Jesus can use him, he can use you. He can use you. Why? Because he loves you so much. You're his children. That's amazing. I truly ask myself many times when I'm caught in temptation or when I'm caught in sin, what am I doing? What am I doing?
Going all out, it means going pedal to the metal,
for the Savior, because the Savior gave so much for you. And we'll never be able to repay him enough for all that he has done for you and all that he has done for me. But he simply asks us to take that step of faith. I love that song, Give Me Faith, to trust what you say, that you're good and your love is great. Guys, we need to fall in love with God. Because when you see two people that are in love, you can't help but smile. And so much would change in our world if we would truly get back to the basics of loving Jesus. We would be incredible followers. Guys, we don't often take an opportunity to do what we're about to do. And there's parts of me that are, you know, I kind of wrestle with that. Do we do this? Don't we do this? But here's what I believe. I so believe that there has to be a turning point for each and every single one of us where we say, I am going to follow you. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So there has to be a turning point. And what many of us don't often have is an opportunity to take part in that turning point. Or really understand what that is through asking Jesus to come into my life. Jesus, come into my life. I don't have it completely figured out. But what I do know is that your love is overwhelming. It is far beyond any other love that I know is available in this world. I'm not going to be perfect, but I want to work towards following you, towards loving you. It says this, and this is the assurance that we can live by. In Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That hell isn't your future destination, that heaven is, and you can spend eternity with him. Guys, I want to give those of us in this room tonight that have never, ever, ask Jesus into our lives to be given the opportunity to do that. Because there has to be a turning point. And so I want to do that. But what I also want to do is make this opportunity also available to those of us in this room that have been maybe deceived by some of the perceptions that you've seen around you of what Christianity is all about. And have maybe been following this fake idea of Christianity, but through this weekend, you've really come to understand the true message of what Christianity is and what being a Christian is. And so maybe for you, it's this very first time where you can say, Jesus, I don't know what I was doing for the last few years. It wasn't really driving me, but what I'm hearing this weekend and what I'm feeling from you, I think this could drive me forward. And what I want to do, guys, is part of that is standing before a group of people that should be the greatest support to you in your Christian walk with God and saying, I'm going to do this, and I'm nervous about this, and I'm worried about what other people around me will say and what they'll think. But I just know that I'm going to spend forever with God in heaven. And I need the people around me to support me in this. And I am sorry, but I am so blown away by the love of God that I can't miss out on this opportunity. And so by doing that, guys, by saying no, as we learned, to this morning to some of the ways of following Jesus that are wrong and truly following and being different and going pedal to metal. I want to ask that if there is anybody in this room simply feels this opportunity speaking to you about really following Jesus, I want to ask you to stand. And I know, once again, this can be a scary thing. I know that. But nobody in this room should look down on you. We should only be clapping and saying, thank you, God. There's another one that's going to be spending forever with you. Do you know that it says in the Bible that there are angels rejoicing every time someone professes for faith in Jesus Christ? Do you know that? That is exciting. That is so exciting. And we should celebrate in that same way. And so what I'm going to ask is that if there are any of you that want to start going pedal to metal in your faith, that you stand. And that you say, I'm ready to do this. I don't have everything completely figured out, but the way I've been living my faith in the past hasn't been working, and I want to grab on to what has been spoken over these last three sessions, and I want to go. And so if that is you, please stand. Please stand, and in that, repeat these words after me. In your head. Father God, I thank you for loving me enough. I thank you for not giving up on me. I thank you, God, for sending your Son to die for me. God, I don't deserve the grace that you give me every single day. But God, I thank you that you show me grace and that you love me regardless of anything that I have ever done in my entire life. God, I pray that you will give me faith. I thank you for your Son. I thank you so much that I can live now with the assurance that I will spend eternity with you in heaven. And that forever from now on, God, that you will be number one in my life. Forgive me for my sin. I thank you that I have a clean slate. I pray these things in your name. Amen. God, we come before you and we thank you for loving us with a relentless love. God, a love that far surpasses and goes beyond what any mind could ever imagine. I thank you, God, for being God, and I thank you that I am not. I thank you, Lord, that you have the whole world in your hands. God, that I can live with the freedom knowing that you do. Thank you, God, for all things. Amen. You guys can have a seat. if you weren't able to stand tonight, you know what, guys, as I said before, you want to figure it out, right? Some of us have already made that commitment, so we're praying for those around us. They're going to figure it out. But if you didn't pray that prayer tonight and didn't stand, tell somebody, because it's something to celebrate. It's something to get excited about. What we're going to do now is we're going to move into celebration mode, all right? And celebration mode is communion. Now, a lot of people, when they think about communion, don't necessarily think celebration. But do you guys realize what communion represents? This represents Jesus dying on the cross for your sin and for my sin. And because of that, we can live forever with him eternally. Like, that is something to celebrate. And so when we take communion, while we make it solemn and somber, what it is for us is an exciting time. To be like, God, thank you. Thank you for your body that was broken for me. God, thank you for your blood that was shed for me. Tonight I want to make communion really, really personal for each and every single one of you. Part of communion, before you take communion, is coming before God and confessing your sin to him. Of praying, God, I am sorry for this. 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 Cleanse me. And God, may I live for you more and more every single day. Believing in something requires action for something. And so before you take communion, as it instructs us in the Bible, is we are supposed to confess our sin. And then we're able to come forward. Now, communion is for those of us that have accepted Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. And for those of you guys that maybe done that truthfully, all out, pedal to the metal, for the first time tonight, this is really your first time taking communion as a true believer. And that's why this is a celebration. We're going to have nachos later, but this is truly the celebration. Guys, this is awesome. And so what I'm going to have you guys do is that Justin's going to play along a little song. A song that's going to take our minds, as we talked about worship, off of us and focus solely on God, which will give us an opportunity to listen to those words. And what I want you guys to do is to take that time to come before God, to pray, to spend that time with him, to communicate. And then when you're ready, when you've confessed those things, to come forward, to stand in line, to take a piece of bread, and to dip it into the juice, to then cup it under your hand so it doesn't drip all the way back to your seat, and to then sit in your seat and just praise God and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for your gift of life to me. I am eternally grateful, and I will forever celebrate the fact that I am not going to live forever without you. Thank you, Jesus, for life. And then you can eat it. And then... and you can celebrate with us. And maybe then, once we're all done, Justin will play like one last song, just acoustically with us, and I can request Give Me Faith. And then... And then what we'll do is we'll head off into small group time where we can do a little debrief on maybe some of the things we've learned tonight and truly challenge ourselves for the future. But what I really, really encourage you guys to do now is to take your time. I don't want to be done communion in 5 minutes. If it takes 5 minutes because you guys have hardly any sin, then that's fine. But if it takes longer than that, because some of us are at that place of we need to rededicate our lives to Christ because we haven't been following him like we know we should be following him. And so this is an opportunity to understand that your slate as well has been washed clean, and that it's a new opportunity for you to be like, woo! Woo! I'm going forward. I'm not looking back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No spend some time with the Lord.